Good morning, Wiley Methodist Church family. We are glad that you are here. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers out there. We pray that you will be honored this day, and we also pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. Hear these words from God's holy word, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite you to inhabit our praises. I thank you for this church family. I thank you for all that are listening in every home, every family that is listening this morning. Father, I pray that we are doing more than listening, but that we would worship you. We would lift high the name of Jesus this day. And it's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen.
Save a wretch like me. Happy Mother's Day. Oh, today is a day that we honor mothers. And so today's lesson, we're going to look at three mothers in the Bible. First, we're going to look at Eve. She was the first mother and the first mother that God made a promise to. In Genesis 3:15, as Adam and Eve were being kicked out of the garden, God said that it would be a descendant of Eve's that would strike the head of Satan. Next, let's look at Sarah. Sarah was beautiful, but she was barren. She could not have children. However, when she was 90 years old, God made a promise to her. In Genesis 17:16, we read, "I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." She had Isaac by God's promise, and it established the covenant between God and us. Sarah is the mother of nations. Then we know Mary. Mary was a very young woman, not yet married when God made a promise to her. In Luke 1:35, we read, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus, our Savior, was born from Mary. Nothing is impossible with our God. These three women are just a few examples of how God uses moms as part of his plan. Moms show us how to be selfless in love. She teaches us to be a member of God's holy family. The truth is, every mother is a part of God's holy plan. Today is a special day we set aside to thank our mothers. And we have encouraged you in many ways. We gave you a Mother's Day challenge where you try to cross off as many of these boxes as you can, such as give her a hug. Check, I bet you already did that one. We sent home crafts for you to do, make a sun catcher for your mother. And today there will be posted a Mother's Day scavenger hunt. However, I want you to take notice of all the mothers out there. Look around you. There are mothers everywhere, and I want to encourage you to do an act of kindness to one. I came up with a couple of ideas I'll share with you. Chocolate flowers. I made this using chocolates, cardstock, and skewers. And I also looked around my house and made a card using buttons. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for our mothers. Thank you for her loving heart and the prayers she has prayed for us. May each mother be granted a special blessing. Let her example to her children be a guiding force in their lives, and may wisdom be passed down to the next generation. Thank you, Lord, for making all mothers a part of your plan. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Let's go ahead and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I want to invite you in your homes to stand if you feel comfortable doing that. And let's declare our faith together, the things that unite our hearts. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, several of you have already wished you a happy Mother's Day, and God bless you this day. I want to give a little shout out to my little 4-foot-10-inch mama. With her hair done up, she's about 5'7". But I've shared this before, but she's one of the meanest women on the face of the earth. But she loves her sons, and she loves me dearly. Mom, I appreciate you, and I love you. And I want to pray for all moms today. You know, you've been thrust into something maybe perhaps you weren't planning on. as being the mom. Maybe you're working. Maybe you're at home with your kids. Maybe you're their teacher right now. And so I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And I just want to pray that you feel special this day because you are. I don't know what we do without our moms. So I want to pray, and if you're at home by yourself, I want you to feel the presence of the Lord there. Family, if you're there with your mom today, would you just wrap her up and just give her a hug? And I just want to pray for them this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for the gift of motherhood. And Lord, you did an incredible thing when you established that that function in the ladies. And Lord, I know some of them are just probably tired right now. Maybe a little frustrated. But Lord, I just pray, God, that you fill them with peace this morning. I pray that you fill them with joy this morning. And Lord, just give them the ability to keep on keeping on and doing what you called them to do. And Lord, if there's moms this morning who are now teachers, Lord, I just pray that you bless their efforts as the school season winds down. And Lord, if there's been difficulty in them finding joy in that, God, I just pray that joy break out in their hearts this day. Lord God, that you just give them the supernatural ability just to press on. And Lord, this is an incredible time for families to reunite. Incredible time for families to come together and just to discover how precious this unit is that you've created. So Lord, bless homes this day. Bless moms this day. Lord, I want to pray, God, for the single moms that are serving two functions. Lord, I just pray, God, for a special blessing on them this day. Lord, just give them the ability just to continue to not grow weary in doing what's good. And Lord, I pray you bless them mightily. Lord, I just pray you bless all the ladies this day. Those who are moms and those who are not moms, I just pray that they feel special because you've created them to feel that way. Oh, God, we love you so much. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power, Lord God. It helps us to walk through any situation. And Lord, just help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to tap into that power. Oh, Father, we love you so. Thank you for opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
More aware of your presence.
Well, good morning again. I don't know about you in your home, but I know the Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. You know, with this being Mother's Day, normally for Mother's Day, we have gifts for our mothers, and we recognize our mothers, and we ask the ones with the most children to stand, and the one who's been a mother the longest to stand, and so on and so forth. And so it kind of grieves me that you're not here with us to do that this morning. So we are going to do something different. You ever been to a ball game and you've seen the wave? We're going to do, by popular demand, a Mother's Day wave. And we have, come on up, waivers, come on up. We spent hours and hours practicing this wave. Are y'all ready? This is for our moms, guys and girls. Okay, here we go. Moms, are you ready for this? This is exciting stuff. I know you're excited. All right. One, two, three. That's it. Well, yeah, let's get a round of applause in the hall. I can hear it from here. All right, thank you. Yeah. I am certain that if I ever get run off from Wiley Methodist Church, it'll be for something just like that right there. That's the best we can come up with, moms. We love you, and we want to celebrate with you today. So, everyone, if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we might comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask you to speak to us and teach us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you a date, and I want to see if anybody recognizes this date. March the 30th, 1981. Anybody here? March the 30th, 1981. And give you another hint. It occurred at the Washington Hilton. Man, this is a slower crowd that I'm preaching to here this morning. Well, that happened to be the day that President Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. Now, many of us remember that day. If you've been around that long, you remember that day. And I remember reading about what took place after President Reagan was shot, and they took him. Immediately took him into the car and got him to a hospital. And he was still conscious, And they finally, when they got in the hospital, they got him onto a gurney and they were rolling him in and he was barely conscious and he looked around at the doctors and nurses and some of you are going to remember this quote. He looked at them and with that Reagan wit, he said, "I sure hope you're all Republicans." I love that story. But the rest of that story is he went in and he had successful surgery and went, a few days later when he's kind of coming to, He realizes as he's regaining consciousness, someone is holding his hand. Someone is holding his hand. And he asks, "Who's holding my hand?" And he repeated again, "Who's holding my hand?" And finally, a nurse spoke up and said, "It's me, President Reagan." And he said again, famously, "Does Nancy know about us?" I love that. Here's something the president wrote sometime later about that incident. He said, "It is difficult for me to describe how deeply touched I was by that gesture," speaking of the hand holding. "It was very reassuring just to feel the warmth of a human hand." There's something, church, about the touch of compassion, the touch of comfort. Today we continue the series, The God of. And today's message is the God of comfort. The God of comfort. I'm going to jump right in and we're going to unpack this verse a little bit. The first thing I want us to see is that God is our great comforter. Now, many times we think that we put our faith in other things, like, and we're seeing that some of those things are fragile, like the stock market, like the ability, even our health, our ability to see one another, even to be able to get out and be out in our community. We put our trust in all sorts of things, but God is our comforter. He's the only one. He's the only thing that will not leave us or forsake us. In this passage today from 2 Corinthians, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion." Meaning compassion comes from Him. "The God of all comfort who comforts us in all our troubles." Do you know that includes all our troubles? It's not just part of the time, but He is our comforter. He is with us at all times. This week, I found out a very close friend of mine and a couple friend of Cheryl and I, Gene and Connie Hudgens. Gene is a pastor. I grew up with Gene. We played sports together, and we've been friends for 35-plus years. Gene is also a pastor, and we actually made our transition into ministry about the same time. I got word from Gene this past week that Connie, who had needed her gallbladder taken out, and with this COVID crisis, they delayed that for a while until they released those sort of procedures where she could do that. She went in to have her gallbladder removed, and they found that she had stage 4 liver cancer. I'm guessing Connie is around 55 years old and was in really good health. They are strong Christians. And I've visited with Gene several times about this, and as you can imagine, this has knocked them off their feet. But in the midst of it, they are clinging to this God of comfort, this God that will not forsake them. No matter what the future holds with Connie, with this cancer, God is the great comforter, and they trust in Him. Secondly, and this ties right in with what I just talked about, secondly, comfort is linked with suffering. Did you know that? If we don't have suffering, there's no need for comfort. I mean, if everything is always great and perfect and we don't have any kind of trials in our lives, then there's no need for comfort, right? No, comfort is linked with suffering. 2 Corinthians that we just read, verse 5 says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." You know, I think the mistake that that we make sometimes as Christians is to think that, you know, somehow suffering, that if we're Christians, that we're excluded from suffering. No, not at all. Jesus said it himself, in this world, you will have trouble. He didn't pull the wool over our eyes. He told us flat out, you're going to struggle. This world is difficult. It's a broken world. People get sick. People die. We lose jobs. We struggle financially. Sometimes there's not enough to eat. Sometimes people are not nice to us. In this world, Jesus says, you will have trouble, but take heart, he says, I have overcome the world. One of my favorite passages, in fact, this it ends with this the shortest passage in the Bible. Anybody know what that is? I know some of you know here. Jesus wept. Two words. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. Well, what's that all about? Well, Jesus, who is on his way to raise Lazarus from the dead, he knows it's happening, but he encounters Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters, and all they know is, I've just buried my brother, and you could have saved him, Jesus, and you weren't here. And so they're weeping. And Jesus, knowing that he was preparing to go and raise him from the dead, and this weeping would soon turn to celebration and rejoicing, what did he do? Jesus wept. He's the God of all comfort. He is the Father of compassion. We understand that comfort is linked with suffering. In fact, Psalms 34 says it this way, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're brokenhearted, if you're crushed in spirit, Jesus draws near to you. He's close to you. He is the God of all comfort. And so whatever you're going through during this season, I want you to understand that Jesus is with you. And then finally, number three, Christ comforts us so that we can comfort others. Did you know that he doesn't just do things for us so that we can be consumers? I say this all the time. Are we consumers or are we servants? Too many times, Christians, we're just consumers. It's like, Lord, just bless me. Just thank you for saving me, Lord. Bless me. And we just consume that grace. But no, Jesus wants us to pass it on. He wants us to, wants it to overflow out of us. God, verse 4, God comforts us in all our troubles so that, that's very similar to therefore, so that he comforts us so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. And it goes on in verse 5 to say, through Christ our comfort overflows. A couple of years ago, Cheryl and I had the blessing. We got to go to Italy, which was a tremendous trip. I wouldn't want to go there right now, but it was fine when we went a couple of years ago. And one of the things that we saw was this place in Rome. It's called the Trevi Fountain. And many of you know about the Trevi Fountain. There's a picture that I took there at Trevi Fountain. Cheryl may have taken that. I don't remember. One of us took it. And it's a beautiful fountain, and that facade is a few hundred years old, but the fountain itself was discovered in 19 BC, before Christ even walked this earth. This fountain was discovered. So over 2,000 years, this fountain has been flowing. It is fed from a spring called the Siloam Springs, 14 miles outside of Rome, and it flows to this fountain, and it has been flowing there for over 2,000 years. For 400 years, when it was first discovered, it was a major water source for the city of Rome, and now it's not. It's just to enjoy the beauty of it. They have other water sources, but it is so interesting that this flowing has been blessing people for over 2,000 years. It's almost like the blood of Christ that's been flowing into our lives, the comfort that comes from that we have had for over 2,000 years. Jesus recited this text in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 4 where when he's beginning his ministry. But he quoted and read from Isaiah 61 that was some 700 or 800 years before Christ walked the earth. He was foretold in Isaiah 61. It says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Are you brokenhearted this morning? Are you anxious? He sent Jesus for that. "To bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning." Don't you love that? The oil of gladness instead of mourning. "And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." There's this, I just see this image of this garment of praise that Christ, he lays this garment of praise over us and it replaces this spirit of despair. Because I'm telling you, if you watch the news or read the paper or just talk to people right now, you're going to be consumed with fear, anxiety, and despair. But Jesus came that his comfort would overflow into our lives and overflow onto those around us, those that we come in contact with. And he has given us this garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. So my challenge to you in the weeks ahead, man, be a people of praise. Be a people of comfort. And Billy talked about it two or three weeks ago where he talking to checkers at the grocery store and praying for them and blessing them and just being an encouragement to them. How many people has God put in our lives that we can be an encouragement to? We can also be we can be agents of fear right now. That's easy. But God wants us to be agents of comfort. He wants the comfort he provides us to overflow into other people. There is a song we're going to close with. I'm going to ask our praise team to come on up and get ready for this. This closing song, "There is a fountain filled with blood." That song was laid on my heart this week. And I looked up and read a little bit more about it. It was written by a man in 1771 named William Cowper. And he was, long story, but he was going through some intense depression. Career-related things had not gone the way he thought they were and going to go. And he was extremely, intensely depressed when he wrote this song. Listen to the words of this song. Worship together as we praise this God of comfort.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty sins.
morning as we talked about this fountain that's flowing over, this God of comfort that flows over into our lives. If you don't know that God, if you don't know that Savior, there should be a button on your screen that you can click on and fill out the form, and it will contact us, and we will be able to get back in touch with you and be able to walk you through this very important step to make Jesus this God of all comfort in your life. Also, I want to thank you for your financial faithfulness. There should also be a button where you can give there online. You can also give through our website, through our app, or you can mail a check to the church. You have been extremely faithful, and we thank you for that financially. And then finally, remember, if you need anything during this time when we're not able to get together, please email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org, and I will get back with you, and we will see if we can help you. God is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that His comfort will overflow to others. Go and be that God of comfort. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. God bless you.